Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Get expert advice from your friendly healthcare team at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Professor Niall Moynagh from DCU School of Health and Human Performance, good morning.
Good morning, Brendan.
So as the, I like to think of you as the national PE teacher, and we mightn't always hear what you want to tell us, but we listen anyway. So we asked you to come in today to talk about fitness between the ages of 30 and 50, because it is a time of life where people can be sandwiched between looking after kids and looking after older parents, maybe. It can be a time when people are very focused on trying to build their career and everything. And it does seem to be a time in life where people fall out of exercise a lot, doesn't it?
That's correct. I mean, again, you're using the word exercise. You know, I think we need to use the word physical activity, just movement.
Okay.
We become less active. I think that that's the bigger. I mean, there are two types of physical activity: is any body movement, but then exercise is when it's planned, it's structured, and we're doing it purposely. So for many people, yes, they're extremely busy. But I harp on the same thing again, that exercise is probably the best medicine that we have. And just to point out, we're probably coming to the end, but I think we'll start with this. Back in the 1960s, they did a study as part of the Apollo space program. And they took 20 men and they put them in bed for 3 weeks. And they measured the changes in their fitness. And now it was shocking. I'm not going to go into that. But 30 years later, they brought back the same five individuals. And obviously in that 30 years, their fitness level had decreased. But they put them on a six-month training exercise training program. And after 6 months, they got back to the same fitness level that they were when they were 20. So I think it's that,
it's all reversible, yeah?
Particularly up to the age of 50. I think after the age of 50. So now, if you're an elite athlete, that's different. But for the average Joe or Mary that's out there, you know, between the ages of 20 and 50, yes, you're going to lose some fitness. But any time during that 30-year period, with a sustained period of exercise, you can get back to your optimal fitness levels.
Okay, so it's back to that notion of the 30s and the 40s. Put down your insurance policy for later in your life. 30 is a kind of a turning point in terms of our body, is it?
Yeah, that's when primary aging, we call it primary aging, where many of the physiological systems, or renal or neurological, cardiovascular systems, start to deteriorate and don't work as well as they did prior to that. And that's an inevitable.
There's a lot of 30-somethings now are going to be horrified to hear this. They feel they're in the prime of life. So what, they're already on the downward slide?
Well, it's the inevitable deterioration. For some person, depending on your lifestyle, it may not begin really until your 40s, but certainly in that decade, 30 to 40, we start to see a decrease.
So what starts happening?
For example, we start to lose muscle mass, and that's inevitable that we lose muscle, but we can mitigate the rate of muscle loss. Simple home-based exercises and maintaining that muscle, because particularly muscle, if we lose it between the ages of 30 and 50, yes, at 50, with a lot of hard work, we can get it back. But the problem is further down the road when we get to 70 and all of a sudden you go to the bathroom one day and you realise, actually, I can't get back up of the loo here. I don't have the muscle strength. And you will not be unable to, you won't be able to perform the activities of daily living. So what we do throughout our 20s to our 50s is very important. You're right. It's putting an insurance policy. It's putting money in the bank to ensure that beyond 50, we're going to be functional and we're going to have a healthy health span.
Okay. So this is not about, most people are not going to want to do a triathlon, a marathon, high rocks, whatever. But this is about maintaining functionality in your life for as long as you can. So it's a basic need. Like, it's not like a hobby thing.
Correct. I think I call it daily hygiene.
Yeah.
You know, like everything else that we do in our life, we should put time aside every day for our physical activity.
Okay. So physical activity and then exercise. You drew a distinction between the two of them. So are we getting a lot of physical activity in our 30s, 40s anyway, like by just living life?
Yeah, well, we call that incidental. That's just moving, puttering around the house, around the office. The evidence in Ireland would indicate that we decrease from the age of 30 our daily levels of just physical activity decrease, and they continue to decrease all the way to 80 and 90. So it's something that really needs to be reversed. But the good news here is that the amount that we have to do, there are three types of, when you exercise, people will ask, well, what type of exercise should I do?
Yeah.
That's the first thing. Secondly, how often should I exercise? How long should I exercise? And how hard should I exercise?
Okay, so give us all that.
You have a menu of things to pick from. You could pick something like dancing, going for a round of golf, or actually going into a gym and doing structured exercise. Now, the good news is there was a paper published actually around this time last year where they took individuals around this age group And they looked at their step count. Now, if you do nothing during the day, you putter around at home on a lazy Saturday, you will probably take around 2,000 steps. So that's reference. We all do that regardless. Just to live day to day, we take 2,000 steps. So what they did in this study, they wanted to look at what's the minimum amount of extra steps you would have to do to start seeing extra benefits. And one of the diseases they looked at was cardiovascular disease. They found that if you took an extra 700 steps beyond 2,000, you got 11% reduction in fatal and non-fatal events from cardiovascular disease.
Okay.
Now you think that's wow. They then looked at, well, what was the optimal dose? And the optimal dose was, what's the minimum amount you would have to do to get the maximum reduction in cardiovascular disease? It was an extra 5,000 steps, and that resulted in a 51% reduction. And the good news here is, if you doubled it to 18,000 steps, or 16, 14, you got no added benefit. All the benefit comes from going from 2,000 up to around 7. And it just, the risk just decreases. You get to around 7, and then it tends to level off. And, you know, you see people running around at 11 o'clock at night looking, I've got to get my 10,000 steps.
Yeah.
In fact, once you go beyond the 2, you get to around 6, that's where most of the benefit. Yes, you get added benefit between 6 and 10,000 steps, but most of it is between 2 and 6.
Okay. So is that then, that is what we would call aerobic kind of
Yes. And 2 to 6,000 is the sweet zone. And most able-bodied people should be able
cardio,
to... Cardiovascular.
Okay. So that's a kind of a baseline thing.
Correct.
Cardio, not enough though, is it?
It's not enough. If you look at the current recommendations from the health service executive, it is that all adults over the age of 18 should get a minimum of 2 days of resistance training. And the reason for that is it's that muscle mass. Because, and again, it's more important probably for females to begin this at a younger age compared to males, because females will not accrue or lay down the same amount of muscle by the age of 30 as males, because they don't have the hormones, the anabolic hormones. So they're going to start losing muscle from a much lower level, and there's a greater likelihood they will reach what we call a frailty threshold and lose their functional independence. So it's so important that both men, but particularly women, do at least, and that's only at least, 2 days of resistance.
Okay, and again, go back to your question then. How often, you're saying 2 days a week, how much of it, what kind of intensity? Like, say, for example, someone who doesn't have access to a gym, or is, a lot of people are allergic to gyms, basically. What could you do at home twice a week?
Well, the first thing you do is you go into Google and you type in home-based resistance exercises. And they will give you a list of upper body, lower body and core exercises, and none of these require weights. You use your own body resistance, or getting up, for example, just getting up and down of a chair without using your hand, doing that consistently, doing push-ups against a wall, doing lunges. And what I would suggest that you pick up 2 or 3 upper body exercises, 2 or 3 lower body exercises, and then for your core and back. And there are simple exercises you can do. If you do that 2 times a week, minimum two times a week, you will preserve... consistently.
For how long though? I mean, how many minutes?
It should take 10 to 15 minutes a day.
Oh yeah, that's all.
That's all it takes.
Yeah.
In fact, probably less. Probably 10 minutes if you do your, maybe do 2 sets and eventually build up to 3 if you have more time. But the key in everything that I've talked about this morning, Brendan, is consistency.
Okay.
It's doing a little bit. If you can only get 10 minutes in every day and you can only do 4 resistance exercises a week, do that every week and the benefits will be incalculable.
And the benefits are?
Improve muscle mass, improve neurocognitive abilities, decrease your risk for cardiovascular disease, for cancer, you name it. There isn't a single organ system in the body that is not going to be positively affected by 5 minutes of walking. Never mind 55 minutes of walking.
Okay. So people don't need to get wildly ambitious here. Kamir, on the consistency, a few questions there. What about, you know, we call them weekend warriors. There are people who, they can't get out during the week, but they go hard at it at the weekend then. Is that still consistent?
Yes, there's now accumulating evidence that for the people who are really busy in their lives, just don't have the time, but at the weekend they can get out for maybe a two-hour cycle, go for a really long walk on Saturday and Sunday. The evidence now is that they get the same benefits, or pretty close to similar benefits to those who do it continuously during the week. But you have to do a huge volume of exercise during the weekend to accrue those benefits.
Okay. And if you're doing it consistently, then we hear about exercise snacks now, and it might suit people in the work from home environment or whatever. take 5 minutes out and do a few things. Does that work?
Yeah, an exercise snack is basically say, I'm going to spend 5 minutes, I'm going to get up, I'm going to do 20 sit-ups at my desk here or push-ups, and then I'm going to walk down the corridor for 2 minutes and back again. That would be a 5 minute snack again. And that's light intensity activity, but it's extremely beneficial for cardiometabolic health and for also to maintain muscle mass.
Okay, so say by the time you hit 50, what's your target in terms of fitness? What should you be able to do, or, you know, what's a good benchmark for people?
Yeah, I think for the average person between the ages of 30 and 50, I would suggest that you set a target every year that you're going to do one 5K walk run. And if you can do that 5K in under 30 minutes, either entirely running or a combination of walking and running, you probably have the average fitness for your age. And anything below 30 minutes, 29, 28, 27, you're above average. So that should be your goal. And then for push-ups, to be able to do probably normal push-ups, to be able to do 10 to 15 push-ups, that's a great indicator of upper body strength. And then to be able to get up and down of a chair without putting your hands across your chest, being able to do 45 of those in a minute. They're pretty simple home-based tests that you can do to assess your own fitness level.
Okay, so look, people don't have to radically change their life or anything. Just start doing something and then build on it, I guess, yeah?
If you can't inculcate it into your life, if it's something, oh, I've got to put this time aside, you know, unless you're a freak like me and you love exercising. But for the average person, it's that daily hygiene. Am I going to make sure? And I would also suggest is to actually, on your watch, just look at the number of steps, log it. And then if you're being consistent and all of a sudden you look, oh, I've only got 3,000 today and I've been doing 5,000 for the last seven weeks, that's a great motivational tool as well.
A little bit of competition with yourself and no harm, yeah. Professor Niall Moynagh from DCU's School of Health and Human Performance, fantastic as always, thank you. We'll take a break.